Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with your hosts, Captain Mickey Eastman and Captain Benny Hatton, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years. Captain Benny is a licensed Coast Guard captain. Now, here they are together, your hosts, Captain Mickey and Captain Benny.
Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. This Saturday morning, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Our producer.
It's Boudreaux, everybody.
What's up, John?
Boudreaux.
Boudreaux's here. I got some new music for you this hour.
Oh.
Ready?
Uh-oh. Oh, Lordy.
Don't worry. I won't scare you.
All right. Don't embarrass me.
No, I don't think I will. I won't tell him your age.
That can't happen. You can't embarrass me. Not for everything I've been through over the years, nothing sticks.
Nothing phases you, huh? You like Teflon. Nothing sticks to
Mr.
you.
Mr. Teflon. All right, well, let's run up Conroe way again, and let's talk to Tex Bonin now, see what's going on with him. Mr. Tex, how you doing, bud?
I tell you what, good morning, guys. Captain Mickey and Captain Benny. And
hello,
I got
Tex.
To talk to Boudreaux a second there, too. Man, y'all gonna have it going, I tell you.
Yeah, if we just get an assistant producer called Thibodeau, then we'd have the Boudreaux and Thibodeau show.
I take it,
sir.
Yeah,
I didn't get to tell Boudreaux. I guess maybe his ties goes over toward Louisiana, but mine do also. You know, I got people named Bonin and Bonnie. Bonet, they call it over there around Baton Rouge.
Yeah,
and. Everybody come over here to Spring, Texas, and then we spread out from there. So, anyhow, he's not telling me nothing new. Hey, guys, I want to get on to Conroe, man. I had a trip yesterday.
Did you?
And they've been far and few in between. Billy had a trip lined up for yesterday, one man out of Chicago. And... I ended up taking him. Billy's out of the hospital and home, but not feeling real good. He can't sleep at night, and he sounds pretty tough on the phone, put it that way. Everything this week kind of been centered around him. And anyway, I took his trip and went out yesterday, and boy, it was a good day. It was calm, started out. About 9:30, you got a little riffle on the water, but the fog had me sacked in, I want you to know. It's one of the few times I use GPS to go out and GPS to come back to Marina at, I think it was 12:30, somewhere right in there. And we were socked in on the lake up there, I want you to know, Mickey.
Man.
Other places after I got off the lake and got headed home, well, it wasn't nothing to it, you know, but boy, out on that water, we were socked in. And you couldn't hardly, for a while, you could get in like 50 yards or 100 yards from the shoreline. And if you got further than that, you were socked all around then. And we made it okay. And I went to we baited up Thursday, went to one of Billy's spots. I ended up there and we anchored out. And sat there, and we was close to shoreline where the boat's out on the lake. You see one now and then come down the shoreline, and some of them faster than they should have. But anyway, we sat there, and, man, I was about ready to leave it. We couldn't get a bite or nothing. And I think it was 9:30, Mickey, somewhere right in there. The man caught a catfish, and was a keeper. And I said, well, maybe we better stay here. And I'd done put my rod up and everything. And he went to catching those catfish, and they were running from 1 to 4 pounds, say. And we caught 50, not me, I didn't, but he caught four, 15, I think it was. But we got into a catfish, Mickey, on a Zeb Code 33, because we were checking crappie out now and then, too. And it was about a 20-pound blue cat. And we landed that thing. And it made his day right
there. I bet on a Zeb Code 33 catch the 20-pound blue.
Man, he
followed
it around. We got right off the bat, got it up out of that brush some, and it circled around on one side of the pontoon boat there, just back and forth, back and forth. We finally, I tell him, if you see some bubbles come up, I said, you're going to no, you got him whipped in. He's coming to the top. And it, sure enough, it did that. Held true. And we got that thing in the net and in the boat. And I went to try and take some pictures, Mickey, and I couldn't get my camera off of, my phone, my phone camera. I couldn't get it off a selfie. I'm going to tell it on my selfie. And so he finally got his phone out, and we got some pictures of it and everything. And we were turning everything back loose, and we turned this old big catfish back loose, and I said, that thing will be spawning here pretty soon. We wasn't far from shoreline, but it was deep water coming in to shoreline. And we caught it on a shrimp, and it's some old Primo stink bait that Billy and I both use it all year long. And caught all those catfish on shrimp and Primo, a stink bait. And we were about 19 foot on the pond dam. And I tell everybody, if they want to go up Conroe and try it, well, you might get something going. We moved around some, and like I said, that was the only place we caught fish, and but they were biting for a while. And lake looked good, just so we couldn't see much of it with that fog and everything. I heard an osprey above us one time, Mickey, and he was screaming out. And I don't know, they got better eyesight we got, but I don't even know if he could see the water or not in that fog and everything. But outside of that, nothing else going on that part. I got invited to go hunting this morning, and I passed it up. My Mike and Dwayne, my nephew, were going to try and find something to shoot at this morning, and I declined. And according to radar, we got still got some rain around in the area, and so I'm glad I didn't. I don't need to get out there and get wet. I'm just kind of getting over a cold.
Wind's what's going to be the factor today. Yeah. We're supposed to have high north winds out of this, man.
Oh, man, it's going to be something. If you're squirrel hunting, they're either on the ground or in the hole. And the deer, I did take, I was over there Sunday evening, and I stayed till Monday evening. But I did take a doe over there, Mickey, and yes, sir. And I've had two does and two hogs this year, I think it is, and that's been it, man. And no bucks, and can't get to my stand. I've killed them other places, you know. And just a bad year, put it that way. That's all you can call it, you know. And I'll probably go over there this next week sometime or another and pick up my side by side and bring it home. It's every now you get in there, it's trained, it wants to jump out of gear. In low range. So come in, get it cleaned up, and we'll see if we can get that fixed here along the line. But hunting about over with, I'm had a good day catfishing there for this time of year. We didn't do I didn't call it too bad with one guy fishing, you know. So anyhow, we'll get our year kicked off here, and one crappie yesterday out deep too, you know, just one of them things. And we were taking pictures and turning things loose, so it didn't really matter with us that way. I like those kind of days myself, and I wasn't in the mood. I could have kept the keeper catfish, but I didn't want to. I wasn't in the mood to clean them yet. So we had a good time anyhow, guys. And about all we got going on our end, wrapping hunting season up here, and it don't last too much longer. And we'll look for next year. That's all we can do.
And, I got you.
I don't like to say I hope we have a dry year or something.
That's all right. I'll say it for you. I hope we have a drought for the next 3 or 4 years.
I know.
We got plenty of water stored up right now. Turn the faucets off. I've had enough.
Hey, I tell you guys, it won't make me mad, put it that way.
No, it won't hurt my feelings at all.
Hey, Mickey is still holding. I have been to my stand 4 times this year since November the 7th, wasn't it, something like that. And I usually down there that much in 1 week.
I was telling Jeff Goat the other day, I said, man, I guess y'all going to have to get a marsh buggy for y'all's hunting lease down there.
We need something other with tracks on it, and the tracks need to be wide enough where they don't fall down in these side-by-side ruts, you know, and everything. You don't see a four-wheeler too much anymore. And in my younger days, I said, that's the thing to have for you. Just pick it up and set it out of the ruts,
right,
you know?
Yeah, well.
We're too old to do that now.
Yeah,
Mickey.
I'm not going to be tugging on no four-wheeler anymore.
No.
I made it this long without tearing my back up. I'm gonna,
yeah.
That's about all I got left that's any good anyway. My shoulders,
yes,
and my
sir.
Back.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have a, you know, even if we get off, you know, I get my buggy fixed and everything, but the ruts are so bad that they'll last up into the year and I don't know if they'll ever dry up again, you know.
Well, if it'll ever dry up, man, get a dozer up there and you can fix all that in one day.
Fix all that, hopefully, and get back drag it or something other than get them ruts filled in. But we got a lot of work that's going to have to be done over there to get it back where we can just run down there and cut off, camouflage cut off, set a pair of gym shoes and get in the stand.
Boy.
Yeah.
Just think when all this weather, when it warms up, how bad the mosquitoes are going to be down in that river bottom.
Oh, going to be something, man.
You off.
Something
like that
else.
Time I hunted with Crocker, I said, man, what's that buzzing noise? Sound like somebody running a weed eater or something. He said, no, man, that's mosquitoes outside this deer stand.
You got it, man. It's something else. Oh, we're gonna have a time with them, put it that way. I went and bought one of them. Back around Christmas, I bought one of those mosquito foggers, you know.
Yeah.
And you may have to drive around with it in the four wheeler and at the stand and all, and just fog them everywhere, and then go get in the stand and hunt.
Just clip one of them little thermocells on your belly of your cap, or just put one in the stand with you. Those things work, man. They really work.
We got two of them, and we didn't get to put them to use too much this year, you know. Right there about squirrel season, they got pretty bad. But then after that, well, these cold fronts seemed to knock them down.
Yeah,
pretty
it did.
Good.
It knocked them down pretty good.
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right, Tex. I got to run, my friend. Hey, put your number out. Somebody wants to call you about coming up to Conroe later on.
All right, guys. It's going to get better. We get the weather and everything. 713-252-4290, and look at LakeConroeFishingGuides.com. You'll find old Tex on there with Texas Guide Service.
All right, buddy.
And hey, y'all have a great one. And man, we're gonna get together this year. If I get them on the bobber and on the rocks, we're gonna go up and have some fun.
That's it. I may have to retire to do that, but I'll do it, man. We'll be there.
You can do it, but
all
you
right,
need to
brother.
Slow down for me.
I heard that.
Hey, Benny, you and Bicky both, y'all have a good day.
Hey, we will, Tex.
Thank you, Tex.
You too, man. See you.
All right, thank you, guys.
More of the Outdoor Show continues now, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Now you chunking. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 518 in H-Town right now. Bayou City. Rain drenched. This sure is going to smell clean outside. Washed all the impurities away. Right down to Galveston Bay. Coming back with a little lead. All right, let's go down to G-Town now. Let's see what's up with Captain James Plog. The Los Sueños Flash.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Man, that was Cameron calling me while I was right then when I was on hold.
Well, you know, you ought to just pick up the phone when we call him. But, you know, that fruit don't fall too far from the tree when it comes to answering a phone.
Did y'all call him this morning?
No, I didn't even put him on the list this morning.
I talked to him last night real What time to talk to me? Man, it was late. Them boys, man, this is it today. They're tired.
Yeah,
they're
they kind of had a slow day yesterday. But boy, them Angel boys came back strong yesterday. They got a Marlin and they got 18 sails and one Marlin now. They passed Cameron up.
Let me tell you how it goes. All it is trout fishing tournaments like your tournaments on a bigger scale. You drive around and see what everybody did on the leaderboard day one. Day two, you got 57 people sitting on top where you're fishing like them boys did to me in Port O'Connor.
Yep.
It's no different. It's just a bigger ocean. It's
so
the same.
So the first day, what boat has all the bites and the most bites, everybody's going to cover them up the next day.
And try to find them. You know how it works.
I know it. That's.
I mean, if I weigh in 18 pounds and you got 7 pounds and you see me sitting on that shore, well, if you ain't going to try to be there tomorrow, you're stupid.
Well, I'm stupid because I won't go there. I wouldn't do that. We don't roll like that, but a lot of people do, man.
Well, no.
It's called bird dogging, pot licking.
Well, it's just how it is. You know, just how it is. I mean, that's. But anyway.
Yeah, but hey, I mean, all Cameron and them got to do today, if they get lucky and catch two Marlin, they're in it. They'll win it.
Well, I mean, all you can do, like I told him last night, that I said, hey, just go fishing, man. It's just one more day. You're a bite away. The top, there ain't but 400 points difference separates everybody from the top.
Yeah, they're sitting at 2,100. And the top is 2,600. That's one Marlin. That's 500 points.
It's just like your leaderboard in your trout tournament. You can see who's on them, and you can see who ain't. And the top 10 boys, they're on them. And Jason is Jason's fishing with BC and them. And he called me yesterday, but I was dove hunting, so I missed him.
Jason who?
Jason Nolan, he fishes.
Oh,
he's fishing with
Angels. Okay.
He does every tournament. Every tournament they fish in, Jason's an angler.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And he called me, and I missed him. I was dove hunting, but like that kind of fishing, there's no variables in the weather. I mean, it's the same. It ain't like a front's gonna hit us trout fishing. No, we fished on Saturday, and a front hits us, and we can't get to our fish. It's the same. We just got to get a bite, man. But everybody, all them boys are good, though. Everybody's capable of doing it. If you're in the top 10 and there ain't but 300 or 400 points to separate, it's a horse race for everybody.
Well, you got 1, 2, 3, 4 boats that are tied for sixth.
Exactly.
With 2,100. Then you got a 2,200 in fifth, 2,300's the Angel boys in fourth. And then 24, 25, and 2,600. So
Cameron, they didn't miss but one fish yesterday.
So they've only missed one fish out of all them bites for the whole tournament.
Yeah, they're. I mean, them boys, when you can do that in the bite and you're on your game, the bites turn around. You know, it's anybody's game. The Family and Friends is a boat Canino used to run. That's the boat that I fished on. I fished on the Family and Friends.
Yeah.
20 times. It's a little 50-foot Blackwell. It's a nice boat. And yeah. Joshua, the captain, I've known Joshua since he was a kid.
Right.
He's a good dude. So it'll be interesting today.
Spanish Fly, they were pulling some hooks yesterday. I heard them once say, fish on, you know, Spanish Fly, fish on, fish on. And then about a minute and a half later, pulled a hook. Sis Spanish Fly pulled a hook. And she goes, well, sorry, better luck next time.
Hey, Ashley's cool, man. How
about that? That's who that chick is on
her
the radio?
Ashley.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like Royster's. That's like, you know, Buddy's Marita. That's Royster's Marita.
Okay.
So then one boat, I don't really know the name, but they come on there and said, well, we've decided to participate finally. They caught their first fish. And Ashley said, well, congratulations.
Oh, that must be Harambe.
Yeah, they suck.
They do. They got two fish for the whole tournament.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, wait a minute. Caramba. No.
Caramba. Hey, David Calfee was going to buy that boat. It's a Sonny Briggs boat, but it's got pod drives.
Caramba
said,
is?
David, yeah, I said, that's a great boat. I got thrown off of that boat at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show.
Why?
I got on it to look at it, and the salesman come over there. You know, I took my shoes off and everything. They said, "Hey, man, you can't be on here." I said, "Whoa, hold on, man. I got money. Don't worry. We're good." They don't want y'all there. If you ain't got enough money to buy it, they don't want you fooling around with it.
Right.
It's pretty funny. But the front, I'm at Rod Ranch. The front just hit right here.
Who runs a Uno Mas?
Uno Mas, that's the guy that owns the marina. That's
okay.
Royster.
Okay, that's him. Okay.
That's him. He All is right. numero uno.
I got you.
It's like a 72 Donzi.
Is it?
And my buddy, my real good friend that used to be buddy's captain, Jimmy Kitchell's fishing with him.
Boy. Well, this is a pile of them, 45 of the best, huh?
Yeah, it'll be fun today. It'll be fun today. I go fishing. Whatever day I went, the last day I went, it was terrible. We caught 100 fish, and then this day we caught like 30. I think we had 4 keepers. It was horrible. It was terrible. So I wrapped up coming to Rod's Ranch. It was so bad.
Oh, is that where? Is that? I hear that train in the background. Where are you at, man?
I'm in San Diego, Texas, man.
San Diego.
That's the train track runs right through there.
I can hear it in the background. I love train horns on the train track. I don't like them in these guys' trucks on the streets, man. Boy, I just want.
He's got quite a few birds. I shot the little 28 gauge yesterday, and I had a great time. I shot like 87 boxes of shells, but I did kill 7 finally.
Shooting that little pop gun. Was that wind cranking down there yesterday out of the south like it was up here?
It wasn't too bad down here, no. Matter of fact, man, about 4 o'clock, 4:30, it was like dead calm.
Man, it was pumping out of the south here yesterday afternoon. It came out.
Hey, we're out here looking
you should
at
have seen that tide
down.
This morning. It was bulled up to the max.
You ought to see how low it was yesterday when I left to come down here. The bay was empty.
Yeah, we're on that negative 1.0 tide, and then your incoming's a 1 point something, so you're getting over a 2-foot swing in these tide changes.
Man, the moon is awesome right here.
Yeah, we're supposed to get that blood moon, that crimson moon. That'll be, tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night?
Yeah. Or maybe it's tonight.
About 8 o'clock. I'm going to miss it.
Maybe it's tonight after midnight or whatever, but we're supposed to have a crimson moon.
Right between two live oaks right here. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of birds. I think I'm going to drive over to La Pryor and hunt today, I think. It ain't but about 2.5 hours from here. Rob's going to go deer hunting. I don't know what Robbie does. He's supposed to be working, but there's no telling what he does. I'm going to drive to La Pryor. I talked to Layton yesterday, and he said, "You ain't going to believe it. There's more of them."
Wow.
I said, "There can't be no more, Layton." He said, "I'm telling you there is." So, all right, I'll be
well,
there.
That's worth the drive. You're already halfway there anyway.
I ain't got no one else.
What are you going to do? You ain't going to come home and cut a drift in 25 to 35 today.
I ain't cutting no drift. I'm about done drifting. Hey, but we did, Mickey. I know how many fish I was sitting in, and they just didn't want to bite. But I talked to Maurice and Bobby that same day. They didn't catch nothing either. I think they caught 3. It was just... You know, it's January, man. You ain't supposed to. Everybody thinks you can go out there and whack them every day. It don't happen like that.
Well, Charlie caught 60 yesterday.
He caught 60 yesterday with a net bit yesterday.
Well, for him, yeah. And you know, the wind went southeast, and he went somewhere where he hadn't been fishing, just, you know, saying a southeast wind's good for it, and he lit him up. And they
wading or drifting?
No, he had to fish out of the boat. He couldn't. The guys wading caught big ones yesterday. Charlie said they might have had one about 25 inches, but they lit them up.
Well, if it was me and I had me one of them big-time boats and a big-time truck, I'd be in Matagorda. I want everybody to go to Matagorda. It should be good down there.
He said they showed up yesterday. He hadn't been seeing anybody, and he said that place was crawling yesterday.
Well, why would you not show up? You can't scroll through this dead buck without seeing somebody with an 8 or 9 pound trout. Look at me. Why would you not drive down there?
That's right.
I mean, that's good on them, dude. I hope they burn their tires up.
That's it, man. Put it on dead buck and get them all in there, man.
You give me my 16 inchers and nobody around me, and I'm a happy
man. Oh, Lord. Oh, man. That's good.
Hey, Robbie, had they lost the deer, so me and Brent Novelli was sitting here, and Robbie gave me instructions, watch the chickens and stir the beans. Well, I ain't never cooked nothing in my life.
No, you can't even boil water, Plog.
Oh, we had the chickens ended up okay. It was one, we call them chickens, Robbie, with the cans. Beer can chickens.
Oh, yeah, beer. I call them up the butt or beer butt chickens.
Well, they were up the butt. Then we took them off, and I jerked one of them's whole head apart. The part of it stayed on the can. The other part come out.
Oh,
my
it was too
the
tender. Yeah, you got to pick them up from the bottom, man.
Oh, yeah, I messed up everything. The beans burn. I said, hey, look, dude, don't ever leave me in charge of cooking.
You got to stir them beans. You got to keep adding water to them. Keep a lid on them and check them and, you know. You got to keep rolling that fresh water in there and stirring them. You don't want them to stick.
Oh, no, I destroyed everything. I didn't do nothing. I don't know.
Oh, well.
So, that's a story. But, well, that's good. Well, I wonder what Charlie caught today. We didn't catch nothing Thursday. I wonder if his fish bit Thursday.
I don't know.
They were off everywhere.
I just don't know. I talked to him Thursday morning, but that was before he went fishing. But he caught them yesterday. They snapped yesterday.
Well, hey, the old saying is you're only good as your last trip, brother.
That's it.
You know how that goes.
All right, brother.
Well, I'm going to go try to shoot me some birds, and let's pull the boy in, man. It's, you know, 121 grand. I don't know what it pays. I think, Mickey, to win the tournament, not the series, but to win each leg, I want to say it's 80 grand to actually win, like, leg one. And to be the champion, yeah, you got to, you know, of course, cumulative points.
Right.
Stay consistent to win, you know, just like Trout Masters.
Oh, yeah,
scale.
That's it. There you go.
So, you know, you're after the dailies more so. I mean, you always want to win. I don't really care about the money. I mean, I just want to win.
Yeah.
But 121 grand is pretty nice payday for the owner.
Well, I already got a guilty conscience. I might as well have the money, too. Remember that in Tombstone? Yeah, oh, man.
Ain't that the truth?
All right, brother. Well, hey, throw them out of going to the bottom number. They can come all catch right, some man, 16 inches, nobody on top of you.
And nobody, and you want some up the butt chickens? I'm not your guy. All right, buddy. 409-935-7242.
All right, Plog. Y'all go shoot a dove in the butt, man. All right.
I'll call you on the come fist to leave a little. I'll call you on the way home.
All right, dog. See you, man. All right, later. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. All right, let's drink a little beer. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. There you go, Benny. 5:37 in the Bayou City.
Oh, my.
That's it, man.
Boudreaux, you got to do better than that.
Better.
You got to do more better than that.
I'll give more effort.
All right, let's head on down the coast now. Let's go talk to Captain Cliff Webb down Corpus and Baffin Way. What's up, Cliff?
What's up, guys? I started listening to music, but I put the coffee down and getting a beer.
Man. That's it, man. That's beer drinking music,
just
man.
Just cheering in the morning for that kind of
that's
music.
That's it. With a little salt on the rim.
That's good stuff. I sit here listening to Plog. I thought it was so much fun listening to James.
Oh, he cracks me up, man.
Oh, man, about his cooking, you know.
And he is not a cook. He can't even cook a hot dog, man.
They asked my kids one time at school if they knew how to cook anything. And my son says, yeah, I can cook toast. He said, you put it in the toaster, you take it out and hold it over the sink and scrape it.
Scrape all the burn off of it and then butter it up and jelly it up.
That's kind of what the toast was, you know. He didn't know you could cook. It came right out of the toaster. You thought you had to scrape it first. That's good stuff.
That is.
Oh, it's all good, Mickey. I tell you. I put the shotgun down and started fishing a little bit this week.
Yeah.
I think I should have kept the shotgun, but anyway, it was tough. I fished hard Monday and Tuesday, and it's one of those days, Monday, that super strong north wind and high pressure.
Right.
But the biggest problem was, you know, water temperature was 54, air temperature 49, and it never moved off that deal where the air temperature never would get above water temperature to make the fish do anything. So right. It's that gray, no sun, nothing to trigger a bite.
High gray liner. Oh, I know. Yeah. I hate that.
I mean, they were just bored to death, you know. So we grinded out and had a half a dozen bites all day. And so we go back to the same guys on Tuesday. And I said, well, it's about the same conditions, but they hadn't eaten, so maybe we get a bite. And It was about 2 o'clock or so, and we got on a little bit of bait and caught a few fish. But man, it was a slow early week. But all week it's just been no real big major bite, just a fish here, a fish there. We had one decent fish this week, maybe 7 pounds. Other than that, it's just been 19 to 23 inch fish when we get them. It's not not the big girls I'm looking for anyway.
No, but they'll come. I mean, it is January. It is January.
Mm-hmm. I look back at all the records, and I'm crazy about keeping records for 30-something years. And I look back, and this is the time of the year. It's kind of transition where it can get like this. The only thing that'll really key a good bite is get a really cold front and then get some real bright sun to pull them up in the mud. And then you may get some concentration of big fish. But we're still just maybe a week or two away from some really good fishing, I feel like. The good thing is the water clarity and everything is setting up to be right. We're starting to get that get a little tide back with this north wind to push that water back up on the flats, because that's what we really look for, is those bull tides to get the water back up on the flats.
Well, boy, we had plenty of water when I come into work this morning. That pumping south wind yesterday afternoon and all night, it really pushed a lot of water in here, but it's fixing to leave town with a 25 to 35 out of the northwest. It's fixing to flush.
just say, man, I think I might just go bird hunting again this weekend. You know?
Yeah, you might.
I think
do
I'll
it
leave it alone until next week. Yeah, it's definitely going to get better. I should say, I look back at the records. This is not uncommon for this time of year, and it seems like another week or two to really turn around. I was hoping this front would be a little bit colder and I'd be excited about Monday or Tuesday, but I don't think it's going to get as cold as they thought it was. I don't think it's going to get down to 30s, maybe. That would definitely help us get a few fish in the mud. But, and there wasn't a whole lot of boats out this week. Of course, now that deer season is shutting down, next week will be a different story. And I think they're all up there fishing with Charlie in Matagorda because he's catching them up there.
Yeah, it's good. Matagorda's seems to be the hot spot right now, but it sure is getting a lot of publicity on Deadbook and social, Instagram, all that, and that that'll bring them in. That's,
man, I don't look at none of that stuff. I just do my thing, and there was only one or two guys out on Monday, Tuesday, and I talked to Chad, and he had about the same thing, about half a dozen bites. But it's just and they'll do this, Mickey, for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden you'll get into them, and man, you'll hit a big pile of those big fish, and you'll whack them. But that's just normal. But the type of fish that I'm trying to catch this year is they're not really on the drop-offs and the edges. They're up in the flats in that knee-deep water, roaming around looking for that mullet or something. They're pretty much single fish. It's a it's a different game to try to catch these double-digit fish. A lot of looking and a lot of bait chasing and up there shallow and a lot of not catching. But when you catch one, it's a real fish. But, that's what I hope I have this year, is lots of guys that are patient, because we can sit there on those drop-offs and stuff and catch those 23 to 26-inch fish.
Yeah.
And people love that, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But the people that have done that all their life and really looking for that really special fish like a Boone and Crockett deer, you got to get out there where they're at. And they're up there shallow, buddy.
I'll run over somebody to get some 23 to 26 inches right now. The fish I've been catching lately. Oh, man, I'll cut somebody's throat for those.
believe me, we don't catch those every day. I'm just saying, though.
But I know what you mean. I get the picture.
But, yeah.
If you want a big one, get your butt in there shallow and fish for him, man. Grind him out. Yeah. That's it. I know.
It's so true. And it seems like,
and if you get bored, go out there and catch you a couple, 4 or 5 pounders, and then get your butt back in there in that knee deep stuff and go to work.
And that's what I have a lot of people that they'll, 10, 11 o'clock, they hadn't got bit. They want to pull off and catch fish. Then I have that other bunch of guys that's been doing this for years that never leave the flats. I don't care. As long as I leave them there, they'll stay up there without a bite and try to catch that big fish. And those are the guys usually that catch the really big 32s or 33-inch fish up there in the flats. It's those guys that's got the patience. It's like a big deer, So I tell people, catching a 10-pound trout is like killing a Boone and Crockett deer on public
land. It is. I guarantee you.
It's the same thing, man. And it's just not easy. You got to go where they are, buddy, and they're up there shallow.
You got to go where they're at. Fish where they live. Yeah,
buddy. But, hey, man, I tell you what, I was telling you about those little bitty Meridines, those little bitty ones.
Yeah, the tiny ones.
Man, I cannot believe some of the fish people are catching those this year. I guess it's super clear water, and they've seen all these big baits, but I'm seeing some really nice fish being caught up, even up here close, with those little bitty merrimines. I've been throwing them too, but like I said, the key to that thing is a limber rod, because those little hooks got the wad up in this corner of their mouth for you to hold those fish. It seems like every year they're on something a little bit different. You know, I'm sure that once they get on the grass and a little later on the spring, they'll be getting those double D's and lilies. You know, I've been throwing those lilies, and I'm going to get some big blow-ups on them. But it seems like a little bit later, they really start eating them. I don't know what it is about the springtime, but they're just nuts on those things. But it's funny how you'll find one thing that they're keyed in on, and right now it's a real small base. You got to downsize this clear water. It does make a difference.
There you go. That's part of it. You got to figure them out. Feed them what they want. Got to throw what they want, man. I mean, how many times have we seen that?
Yeah, I got your text. You may be coming down to fish. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, if I can just get Wayne and Hugh to come back with a reply on. They're trying to, between the two of them, work out the dates. And so we can all do it together and come on.
Yeah, I was trying to get you some dates where you could fish 2 days. That'd be great, where you come down and fish 2 days.
That's what we want to do, is fish 2 days and then go to Hughes Ranch and shoot cold bucks for 2 days.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Yeah. And his cold bucks are probably nicer than anything I've seen this year.
That's like our ranch. We're kind of on a meat ranch. You know, it's a 140, 150 that, you know, pretty much top end some of our bucks. We got one out there that's about a 155 that he finally broke one of the brow tines off, so maybe they'll leave him alone. There's some nice deer, but it's not the trophy ranches that people hunt. We're just out there to have a good time. We've got great birds. That's the main thing. I love shooting those birds.
Well, those are nice deer for low fence ranch, man.
Yeah, and it's nothing great, but they're fun to chase, let me tell you.
Yeah, they are.
Big fossils deer. And I was listening to you yesterday about that big blonde 9 points you're chasing over there.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because we got one deer on our ranch that doesn't have dark horns. It's so funny because almost everything's dark, and we got one deer that's got the real blonde white horns.
Isn't that
something? And I was listening to you about, I guess, what they're rubbing on makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's what Blaine said. Said, yeah, the chocolate horns, they're rubbing on the on mesquite and stuff to color those horns like that. And I said, yeah, that 9 point must be rubbing on the ladies to make them blonde like that.
You saw that deer. Is it a good one?
Oh, yeah. It's a nice one. And it, I thought that woman shot it, but it was a different 9 point. It wasn't. I said, nope, that's not the one. They sent me a picture of it. I said, no, that's not. You need about 20 more inches of horns to equal that one.
Oh,
I passed
man.
On. I should have shot it. But I've already got a big nine. Oh, it's in the upper 140s, low 150s. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's a real good deer.
I mean, that's a good open range deer right there. A nice one.
Oh,
plus,
yeah,
it's mature. You know, it's a shooter. It's definitely a shooter.
That's the first thing you look at, the body.
Look like Stony Burke coming out there. You know, look like a big stallion entering the arena around all the other deer.
Yeah.
I said, man, look at the size of that body. And when the horns look that big on a big body deer, that's a good deer, man.
Yeah, I look at that brisket. They got that big old brisket in front of them, that big old neck and that Roman nose, kind of fat belly and sunken back. You can just tell. But I tell people, you know, it's so sad that on these ranches around, we have these beautiful bucks that are 3.5 years old, and they would just leave them alone. Just because they're 10 points, they'll shoot them.
Oh,
a lot of hunters had that deal. Well, I don't know, but he had 10 points. You know, 10 points would be great if it was 5.5 years old, but a 3.5-year-old 10-point hurts. Do we have a lot of that around?
Well, I've seen them shoot 2-year-old 10-points at Blaine's, and they're happy as a lot. They're going to get them mounted. But, man, if that deer could have just made it another 3 years, it would have been a monster.
Oh, man, when I worked at the Kennedy Ranch, we had that 230,000 acres we hunted, and these people would come in from up north, and they'd pile the truck, and I'd say, now listen, we're going to drive around. I'm going to show you these deer because they're different from the deer up north. I said, these deer are a field dress around 150 pounds, and their ears are about 17 inches. It's not like up north. And they'll see a 140 class deer, and they think it's a 180, and you just try to hold them back. They're just not used to seeing those horns on those smaller bodies. But you put that same set of horns on a 250-pound deer, it wouldn't look near as impressive.
That's exactly right. And you know what I like to look at, if I could, you know, get a bead on them with my binoculars and look them over real good, count the wrinkles between their head and their ears, you know, where their ear meets the base of the head. And usually every crease, every wrinkle, that means a year. If you kill a good mature buck, you'll have 6 or 7 wrinkles there. And 4 year old will have four of them almost every time.
Interesting, Mickey. That's something.
But that Roman nose and that pot belly, that's that old man look, you know. That's
kind of like what we look like.
Got to sway back all slumped over and got the beer gut, Roman nose.
Yeah, the difference is nobody wants us at that age, you know.
Everybody that's it. A little different, you know? That's it.
Oh, good for hamburger meat, huh?
That's it. You're a burger bug, Benny. Yeah. Benny's a burger bug. Sausage dog.
God almighty. This ain't right, man. It is right.
Hell.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to fishing again and try to get – this is the end of the buck season and dove season. I might go hunt one more time, but I'll get more serious about this fishing. But this is transition time. You know, it just seems like it's always like this. And that last week of January kind of kicks in gear for us. I talked to my buddy Jay down south, and he did good this last cold front. He caught a couple of good fish down south.
Yeah, I hadn't talked to Jay in a while. I've been calling him, but I figured he'd be kind of hard to get a hold of down in Mansfield, and kind of get a report on what he's doing down there. See what's
shaping. Well, I know he's caught one good 9-pounder down there, 30 or 31 inch fish. He caught one good one there. I know it may have caught more, but
sweet.
He's grinding out every day down there. He's fishing pretty hard.
I bet he is.
That's Jay for you. He doesn't do a lot of hunting and other stuff on the side. He just grinds it out.
He's like James, man. He just fishes through it all. Well, at least James takes a little break and goes bird hunting, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't look cooking every once in a while. You know?
Beer butt chickens, man. Up the butt chickens. James is on that. He's the man.
Oh, that's good.
I've got these little my wife bought at a trade show or somewhere, but they're kind of porcelain, and they're these dishes, and they've got the canister in the middle where you pour beer in there, or Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, whatever mix you like to use, and to keep those chickens moist. And you just set them down in there, and their legs will sit in that outer bowl, and that inside part goes right up their butt, and you just set them on there and tip the wings back, put rub on there and cut them loose. And pretty much every time.
I never tried those chickens like that. I've heard about them. You know, a lot of guys in the refineries here do the beer can chicken up. Never tried one or never done that.
Yeah. And it works out good. Now, if you're cooking in competition, you want to, once that chicken starts to brown real good, you don't want to get it too dark. And then you make you a piece of aluminum foil and lay over the top and let it hang down over the breast and the back. And finish it up that way, and keep the lid closed. And when you know when they're ready is when that outside canister is filled up with juice, with broth. You know it's done. Take it off. It's still moist.
It's when you think you know everything about cooking a chicken. Somebody else finds another way to cook a chicken.
Man, if you mess a chicken up, you might want to do something else. It's hard to not be able to cook a chicken. That's the easiest thing in the world to cook.
I beg to differ.
No,
I struggle cooking chicken, man.
Man, I take that green egg of mine and just, walk away from them. Just leave them alone. Don't open the lid and look at them, and then you get your timing down, and it's perfect every time. Can't beat it.
I'll tell you, the worst chicken I ever had was in Mexico. So we were camping on this beach, and, I was catching fish every day and stuff. We were just eating fish every day. We were sick eating fish. I mean, we eat fish 5-6 days. There was nothing else to eat. And so I had this idea. I'd go to this little village at Tikla and see if I couldn't trade a couple of these pargo and these snapper and stuff for something else to eat, some chicken or something. So this lady's got this chicken in the yard. Well, she goes out there, and the kid catches it and wrings its neck and starts plucking it and puts it in this paper sack for me. And so I go, man, it's going to be good. It's a fresh chicken right here, buddy. This one's good stuff. That was like eating a nail. I've never seen a bird that tough in my life. We ended up boiling that chicken, boiling it and trying to put it on a tortilla. I mean, it was it was like the Mike Tyson of chicken. There was no fat on this bird, man.
Well, there's some tough chickens down there, buddy.
That was a tough chicken, buddy.
That ain't no Pilgrim's Pride, is it? That's good.
That was a yard bird running away from all the local dogs. I mean, it was a tough chicken. Buddy.
That wasn't your state-of-the-art free-ranging organic chicken there, bud.
Oh, man. Oh, it was pretty bad. Like, wild turkey. It was pretty tough.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. All right, Cliff. Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to call you, and I'll let you know on those dates once they get back with me and pick out which dates they want. Throw them out a number, bud.
All right, I appreciate you having me on, guys, and I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Thanks, guys.
0707?
007.
007. Yeah, you need to change that and get it to 007, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm real spotlight, let me tell you.
All right,
thanks, guys.
All right, Trout Spy. See you, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.